listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, December 10th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, I'm very glad to be here.
I'm so glad to have you and so glad to see everybody joining us live in our chat. Always love seeing you. Always love catching up with you. And want to throw a shout out to those listening in the archives as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, as always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight, I'm excited. We have a topic looking forward to, the metaphysics of sound. And
so many avenues to go down. You just took the words out of my mouth. There's so many ways we can go with this. We can talk about vibration, frequency, music, you know, nature. I mean, the list is long. But I'm going to suggest we kind of take off where Dr. Doug Kelly, had mentioned to us off program last week about how even a frequency of sound or music can change like the grains of sand on a table, you know, and projecting sound, and it can start to make patterns like a snowflake. You know, that's how profound it is. I watched a video not too long ago about sound and how it changed a raindrop into certain, you know, again, you know, means the whole frequency or pattern of a raindrop. And that's how powerful it is. So wherever we go tonight on this conversation and whatever anybody offers up in the chat, that's, I think, a really good place to start. You're muted. I'll bet you.
Nobody has proof of that. No, I think it is. It is.
Let's start with music.
Yeah.
Let's start with music.
I was thinking about this today, and I think that you could make an argument that one of the core things to truly being a self-aware, sentient human being is a connection to music, because there is a connection. There's a deepness there. There's a mathematics and a rhythm to the universe that exists in that. And all the while, I'm thinking it's somewhat ironic that, generally speaking, I love music. You know, fine. But I'm not huge into music. Now, my fiance, she really is. She loves music. She's into it. She knows all the bands. I tell you, you can play anything. She's like Shazam. She'll tell you exactly who's playing and, you know, who the artist is. But I will say, you know, I think higher level of intelligence beings, they respond to that kind of core essence. There's a truth in the music, even beyond the lyrics, right? Because the tones, the notes, they speak a story unto itself, even before you throw the lyrics in.
Oh, totally. Some folks may not know this. I know I mentioned the program years ago that Gregorian chant had 33 notes in a scale. And then the church made it down to 7. So when a blues player, you know, is playing and, you know, you get your flats and your sharps and your bending of notes, that's trying to find that true sound that would go back to that 33-note scale. It's quite fascinating. But you can always tell, you know, somebody has a sound or a frequency. So Dr. Mike has offered up semantics, shows the sound, that sound organizes matter into precise patterns, and it'll depend on the medium it travels mm-hmm. through. So just so you all know, semantics is the science of visualizing sound and vibration. And it shows how specific frequencies, I'm reading this off of Google, by the way, create intricate geometric patterns in different mediums, like I was talking earlier, like sand, water, powders, and waves, and it shapes into matter. Yeah. And it's it happened to be coined by Hans Jenny. This phenomenon uses devices like the Chladni plates to demonstrate how different frequencies form complex, beautiful patterns in applications of art, education, and understanding nature's resonance. So, and it also refers to a popular brand, semantics.fm, that sells music production samples and plugins. So, you know, it all kind of really ties in together. And resonance is really about movement and frequencies, visible vibrations, sound waves, geometric forms in like snowflakes and mandalas, you know, that kind of a thing. So this is where quite often they're very visible to us and recognizable to us, but there's so many things that are hidden. You know, we're talking about how GABA, you know, filters out things in the brain for memory and storing stuff in a previous program. It's like, what are we giving attention to? So there's on YouTube, there are several sites that offer to play music that's to so many hertz, like 483 hertz or 5 something hertz, and it's good for different things like relaxation, energy, ideas, and so you can go and look that up. But it kind of you know what I mean? It kind of resonates in some way that affects us, and it's all by whatever tones are being used. And Wendy is saying like modern wellness has sound baths, crystal bowls, tuning forks, binaural beats, and you're absolutely right, Wendy. So all these, again, we're back to the sound, but sound is music, but sound is everywhere. You know, it's a friend of mine who's a blues player. I've said this before in another program. He would get me to listen to nature, and he could name the notes, like cars on asphalt or a wind blowing. He said, oh yeah, that's D, or that's an A minor, and I'd go, wow, because I hadn't thought of it that way. It's all these sounds are to various notes and frequencies. And so when we are now adding our own elements to it to inspire well-being and wellness, basically, you know, we're kind of experimenting and opening up our consciousness. It's like being more aware of what sound does to us. It's really very fascinating. So again, the metaphysics of sound is we're going into that understanding of how it does affect our consciousness. But it affects our body too. I think it was Jimi Hendrix that kind of started a new phase. His guitar went out of tune on stage when he was playing and went into an E-flat major. And so it changed the whole dynamic of rock and roll and blues playing, and more artists started picking up. Well, the E is in the let me get this right. It's in the solar plexus that's yellow. Think of the umbilical cord. So that's your emotional center. So that's another reason rock and roll took off, you know, and after, you know, Jimi Hendrix and the like, it kind of hitting a new chord. So we started, because it's the emotional center, we started feeling an attachment to it. And so, boy, that just took off. Of course, Hendrix was one of the most profound guitar players of all time. So it's, I don't know, like I say, I can go on and on about this one. So you got to stop me, Michael. You know, I get so excited about it.
Jimi Hendrix. I went through a huge 60s and 70s music phase, and Jimi Hendrix. I love Jimi Hendrix. But you know, God, there's just so many different directions to go on this topic. But it. I'm gonna get a little nerdy here. I'm going to get a little nerdy here.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about how in Star Trek, you know, Vulcans, they say that music is key because it has mathematical and, you know, certain properties that are universal that are soothing.
A whole new area.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Go for it.
And, you know, I always made me think, as you know, they always play these instruments. But, like, again, when it comes to a species of pure logic, right, you know, why would you care about music? Well, because it speaks to something deeper, you know. Is it emotional? Yes, it is deeply emotional. But it's not just. It's also intellectual. It is stimulating. I got my Wrapped from Apple Music, and I listen to a lot of symphony. I got to listen to a lot of classical music because I just put it on while I'm at work. It helps me focus, helps me kind of do my thing. I couldn't probably tell you much aside from the big popular ones, you know, what's Bach, what's, you know, Mozart, what's this, what's the other, but it is one of those all-encompassing things, that sound, how it interacts with us. And eventually, you know, I'm going to bring this around to something, and, you know, I know we kind of differ on it, and we have in the past, AI. I think it, again, we're not there yet. But given exponential growth and computing technology and all that stuff, at what point, you know, if we're really going to think about consciousness and we're going to think about how, you know, okay, I've made the argument many a time that we are biomechanical machines. And I think that when you have something that can have awareness, that can have consciousness, that can lead to self-determination, free will, and things like that, I think it would not be impossible that there will come a time where artificial intelligence, not what we have now, which is just rudimentary, but it will be a century from now, 1,000 years from now, I don't know. But I think it's possible that you could eventually have artificial intelligence that has an appreciation for music, and I think that's going to be kind of one of the key indicators of whether it is truly self-aware. So, I mean, I just... Again, I think we could have the argument, is it being programmed to say these responses or not? But I think only time will tell in terms of what kind of free will it has and what kind of things it leads to. Because I'll also make the argument, human beings are programmed into what music to like. A little bit.
Ooh.
Cultural, right?
Conditioning.
Different? Yes, yep. Conditioning. Exactly right. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Right.
Dr. Mike has added in here, sound is ordered vibration that collapses chaos into structure. There you go. It's a good way of saying it. You know, there's, of course, my kids are older, but back when I was pregnant with my kids, there's different things that I believe would influence the fetus, but specifically my son. I am a classical freak too, and I love Vivaldi. Now, Vivaldi is a lot of... His composing is done to the rhythm of a natural heartbeat, a relaxed heartbeat. So every night at the same time, I would put Vivaldi on and just, you know, bathe in that music and meditate, relax, and go to sleep. Well, after my son was born, I have never met anyone who loathes classical music more than him. I think he overdosed. Because he would go bonkers. He'd say, turn that off. That's awful. Turn it off. I can't take it. And I mean, I felt bad. I felt great listening to Vivaldi, and I thought that was great for the fetus, but it had a reverse effect on him. I think he just overdosed. I don't know. But it, again, the influences of music. A lot of doctors perform surgery with music playing, music that they like to have. Donna just wrote in the chat, I listen to jazz when I need to concentrate on something. So you're playing classical at work, she's listening to jazz. I have jazz or classical music, classic rock in the bathroom, the background when I'm doing things.
What you do in the bathroom is your own private business, you know.
I don't, because Dr. Mike just said, he says he's still a Hendrix fan. So am I. Yeah. I love old blues and stuff. It's great. But Wendy's saying she loves Tchaikovsky. I love Tchaikovsky. Beethoven as well. Chopin. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of them that each have a different, you see, and those are, when you talk about, you know, classical music, it really is classical, because look how many generations and hundreds of years, you know, that music has just carried on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. Audra saying, that's how she feels about Cat Stevens. I love Cat Stevens, you know, and I have him on one of my rotations, you know, many of his songs, and so glad to see that he's back. You know, making a comeback with his kids. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But he got shunned for a long time because he converted to Islam. He became Muslim, took a Muslim name.
What was his name?
Went underground.
I think you said it, but I can't remember.
What
was his Cat Stevens name prior to the conversion?
No, Cat Stevens was his name prior.
Oh, what's his name now?
Let me look it up.
Isn't it like something Yusef?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is Yusef. You're absolutely right.
Huh.
And, you know, three kids. No, pardon me. Six kids.
Eesh.
Wow. I didn't know.
Hey, good on him.
He was always a philosophical, spiritually driven artist before he converted to being Muslim. And he maintains that, but his music is timeless. So that's another thing, that how we attach to music throughout our lives. Like, I see artists now on music now, I can't relate to a lot of it, because I'm old. I like to go back to the other stuff. There is some music now I really appreciate. But again, youth, I think, absorbs this whole association of life. You know, I was telling a friend that, I miss the version of myself that was naive, kind of unknowing, where, you know, you could be in public and just be, in wonderment, studying people. And now, of course, I'm cynical and often pessimistic.
As I age, I realize, time will do that to you.
But I think that's the Dr. Mike T for the Tillerman. Yes. One of my favorites. So it's how I think especially when you're young, how there's an absorption through your intellect and your emotion about how that forms you. So we mentioned conditioning. I think music of the time, it contributes to how people evolve in ever so many ways. You know, so we're affected by sound in the countless ways, Michael.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ways we don't realize.
Did you already throw this out? Dr. Mike had thrown it in here, too, that sound is ordered vibration that collapses chaos into structure.
Yeah.
If you threw that out, I was reading something and didn't catch it, but I love that quote. That's a good one. But
again, it's a topic that we could be here forever, but I appreciate what you said about music and math, and the relationship, you know, between the two. There's a, I'm just read this to you. Music and math have a deep and complex relationship connected through principles of rhythm, pitch, and harmony, which can be analyzed using mathematical concepts like ratios, sequences, and symmetry. So, for instance, if you have something that's a 4-4 time, that's, you know, it's got four beats, or a 2-4 beat time is like 1-2, and the 3-4 is not there. You know, a 3-4 time is 1-2-3, and the fourth is, you know, filled in. So there's, let's say you're doing drums. So, three drum beats, you miss a drum beat. Three drum beats, you miss a drum beat. So that's where you get into, sequences. So there's various kinds of equations, if you will, that, music and sound operates to, which we could go into then with how people use their voices, how they use their own inflections. You know, we have, if somebody has an accent, where do they put the accent and how? So a voice is music. That's how you're speaking on your own behalf. And you have a tone.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of, there's been a trend that had started many years ago where people were talking where everything was a question, you know, and answering in a question. There was a university professor woman who came to me, and she was very disgruntled about how she didn't get any credibility, you know, from her peers.
Right.
And I said, well, can I help you with that? She said, well, what? I said, well, it's your accent. It's the way you are speaking that everything goes up. You have an intonation that goes up at the end of every sentence or even in the middle of a sentence, and it ends in a question. So you don't sound confident. And at first she got really kind of PO'd with me at first. You know, I took it personally. And then she calmed down. And I said, if you practice talking where you're more in command of the words. And here's an example. Instead of saying no, which allows for a yes, no is no. And it's like how then animals respond to us with tones. So if you're always in a high-pitched voice, no, 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 they don't hear the no because they don't know English unless you teach them over time. They only know tones. So if you go no, or down is down, up is up, yes is yes, and it's the inflections or tone and how we respond or nature responds to us. Like plants respond to music, plants respond to our voices. Talk to a plant, it's happier. You know, and there's proven science in this. So it's how we can also become more self aware about using our voice. Nothing makes me more mental than waitresses with that really high-pitched, squealy voice. It's like they all went for training at the same school. I don't get it.
Is that a waitress thing?
Sorry?
Is that a waitress thing?
I don't know why. These young, well, young people. And wait, oh, hello, how are you doing? You know,
I think it's youth. Because I think the older you get, the deeper your voice gets. I think it's just... And I think, you know, it's natural to be irritated at young people because young people are just naturally annoying.
Well, when my second daughter, well, she still has a tendency, but she had a very high-pitched voice when she was young. And when she was 8, 9, 10 years old, we started doing voice lessons.
Mm-hmm.
I started giving her voice lessons and how to bring her tone down, not the loudness, not the volume, the tone. Like speaking a lower kind of tone. And, you know, I mean, if I want to put my radio voice on, Michael, I can speak solely from the solar plexus and be that. But if I'm just being me, it's like a throat and head voice, you know, here. But it's understanding those tones. You learn that in theater. and certainly vocalists learn that. People in radio, television, movies, they learn that too. And but when you're in a dynamic with the world, my observation, it's not a blanket statement, my observation is most people are not self-aware of how their voice or their language influences or affects their environment,
yeah.
Certainly in having conversations. So it's, this is what I mean by the metaphysics of sound, is, there are volumes of books on this, and we're kind of bringing it all into a 30-40 minute discussion, which I love this discussion. Wendy is saying there is technology like plant wave, which attaches electrodes to leaves to convert a plant's natural electric signals, biorhythms into musical notes, creating unique ambient sounds for relaxation or art.
You know,
that's a fantastic point. I'm glad you brought that up, Wendy, because, mm-hmm. I mean, how cool is that?
It absolutely is. And it segues perfectly into, you know, the last point I wanted to bring up on it. And it's going to be my last little bit. I know we got to get cards here soon, too, so, you know, put your name in, too. But I was going to say the music of nature. You know, I can't tell you the serenity and the peace that I felt being a boy living in the Black Hills back when I was a kid. We'd be out by Spearfish Creek, and I'd hear the wind going through the trees and that noise, that whoosh, noise and the sound of the creek and just the symphony around me, and birds, the music that birds make, you know, we didn't even touch on that, you know, just there's a lot to this world. Some of it sucks.
I watched a reel the other day, Michael, that it just made me laugh about these birds or animals that make the strangest, weirdest noises. You know, and I mean, it's hysterical. It's, I don't know. It's, again, every life force has its own, you know, language. And Wendy had to add in there too, she saw a video of somebody hooking up a tree, you know, with electrodes, and how the tree made music. And there's science now that even grass, where we, you know, you cut the grass and it smells good, well, there's the science of it that's the grass screaming.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer, isn't it?
It gives off this scent.
But I guess for what purpose? Well, I mean, usually when humans or any animal makes a scream or a screech, it's to alert, you know, others or to ward off something. What would the grass be doing? What's the purpose behind that, I wonder? But that's just a rhetorical thing. I don't really get.
Maybe
no
it's in pain.
That.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, plenty of things can experience pain without screaming. It's getting dark. You know? It's getting dark. I'm sorry. What I was going to say is, I lost it. Go on.
No, Dr. Mike, I love his sense of humor. He says, if you smoke a specific substance, your voice will all of a sudden become a Barry White voice. And for those of you who don't know who Barry White is, go look him up. Oh, my, that, the best voice ever on the planet.
True enough. Yep. True enough on that. But.
That's great. Now, there's so many ways. And if you have an interest in music or sound and vibrations, please do some research. You know, whatever kind of avenue you want to take. I noticed Kevin said that he has a relative, a nephew, who plays with a band. And so, yeah, you know, he wanted to share some of this information with me. He might actually already have some inkling about this, but not every musician understands the metaphysics of sound or, you know, looks into the research, but the layers of it, how it affects consciousness. I don't know. I think they understand the emotion of music, you know, how it conjures, stirs up emotion. But, yeah, it's a great topic. Jeff is actually posting here. Good to see you, Jeff. He saw his wife showed him a a video about a cockatoo. He said, I probably got that wrong, but I'd like to listen to, I like to listen to music and how it yelled. The Amazon wavered, so we played certain playlists and jammed out to the music. He said, unfortunately, it was like at 2 a.m. that's fun. Yeah, there's, you know, if you ever, you know, for those in the archives, you ever want to join us live, we have a very cool group here. So, well, we have, we're on to our cards now.
Mm-hmm.
And for newcomers, the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards, and I'm going to do a backup one with tarot. So, Donna is first, if I have this right.
I thought so, too. I was just taking a quick gander. But first card of the evening, maybe one of the best cards, number 24, Truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths, the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet, the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction. Hope that hits.
Well, this is, when you get the Two of Hearts, it's everything to do with partnership, relationship. Now, it doesn't have to be an intimate relationship. It could be with a family member, a child, a parent. And it's like learning things you hadn't seen before, probably, or recognized before. And from this, I'm getting acceptance. You know, it's not that you discard people because they're different necessarily, but it is that it's you're revealing new truths to yourself. Because generally when something shows up in somebody, it's always been there. We just didn't see it before. So that's kind of a message there. And I consider that a bit of an affirmation for you, Don. Or, pardon me, Donna. That's just...
Very nice.
What I got there.
All right. I think we have Jackie next, if I got that right.
Yes, I have Jackie right next, too.
Jackie, I have for you number 41, communication. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
The first thing I want to say to you, Jackie, is be wary of gaslighting. You know, when people turn things around on you, because you got the Seven of Clubs. So that, you know, the Seven of Wands is a protection kind of symbol, an energy of, you know, it's kind of like when you have a conversation with somebody, you're sharing, and then they point it back at you and think it's all about you. So it's about finding the truth in that that communication, that conversation, or how the dynamic is. So there's a big revealing kind of going on for you. And, you know, it's just then sometimes you just refrain from having certain discussions with people, you know, because it causes them distress. You know, I think the biggest issue that people have, and probably always have, but it's more probably more evident now, is how everybody's, not everybody, I gotta stop doing that. A lot of people process information and facts through their emotional centers. And it's really habitual. So, but it's part of the growing up process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have Danelle next. Nice to see you, Danelle.
Danelle, good to see you. And I have for you number 33, preference over principle. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy. It's a good card.
Oh, boy. You know, that's another one of the more powerful Dr. Kelly one-liners of, is it preference or principle? So I got strength behind that, Danelle. And, you know, it takes a lot of inner strength to know when we should just refrain from talking because it's a preference, has nothing to do with principle, and to mind our own business. It's just preference. We can have opinion, but it's not life shattering. It's not anything. It's more accepting what we see in people, even though we have a preference that it would be different. So it's this discerning, and having the strength in yourself, you know, in this next stage of life to, preference over principle. Now, Wendy, our card keeper, who's coming on the program next week, mm-hmm. I might add, everybody, she said that you had that card almost exactly 1 year ago, Danelle. So, December 4th of 2024. A cycle. Interesting. We're going to talk more about patterns next week and the cycles and what we kind of observe ourselves by kind of a collective consciousness within our group. So we'll see about that next week. We have Kevin next. Nice to see you, Kevin.
Kevin, always happy to see you. And tonight for you, I have number 13, positive consciousness. I don't know if we pulled this one in a minute. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude, even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
Wow, Seven of Diamonds. Now, the Seven of Pentacles is a harvest kind of symbol, harvest card. And it's like all the work after the toil. And it's really about positive consciousness with the Seven of Diamonds is uplifting. You have reason to be uplifted or feel uplifted that some really good stuff is about to come around for you. That's what I'm thinking here. Kevin, you know, Michael, the weirdest thing, as I was talking, my printer turned on by itself.
Yes.
And that's why I hesitated. I'm looking over and said, what just happened? All by itself, my printer turned on.
If a message prints out, you should tell us.
I know, I got spirits here. Because it's still an arm and a half away. I can't reach it from where I am. And there's nothing around it. That's just bizarre. Okay, another one of those things that I file away is extraordinary. Oh, yeah, it wants to print something. So it's saying external drive connected, the door open, and I kid you not, it's trying to print something. Bizarre. I'll keep you posted, guys. We have Audra next.
Audra, always happy to see Audra. Tonight for you, I have wild card. First wild card of the evening, if I'm not mistaken. Wild card number 8, freedom. Freedom is a state of being. It's an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
All right, Audra. 3 of clubs. So that's looking into the future. Aaliyah says, spirits I have on my printer are a hacker. Audra says that's what she was worried about. I got so much security on my computer. I don't know. I don't think so. Anyway, it doesn't matter. There's nothing to hide, nothing to share. And there's nothing to steal. So there you go. So that freedom and that Three of Clubs is how you're seeing the future in a, and you know, I'm going to be really simplistic here, in a freer way. And it's a more open, limitless way. Like if you had put kind of boundaries or restrictions on yourself, you know, in the past, Audra, or thought that's something you can't do, or, you know, it's like living beyond your dream. It's living outside of the dream, because we only build dreams within our own reality. So, you know, this is beyond what you would hope for yourself or dreamed of for yourself. And I think it's going to continue to grow. So you're having a new view of your future, and I think that's exciting.
Love it.
All right. We have Jeff next. Jeff put out a hilarious video today, you guys, a blind outdoorsman. He just had a minor hernia surgery. So he's out of surgery. Procedure's over. And his wife, Sean, is there. He's telling the story about he woke up and told the doctor, you know, of course, it went well. And Jeff says, well, how come I can't see anything? And Shauna starts laughing. He said, oh, because you're blind? He said, yeah. Like, he cracks me up. You guys got to see some of his videos. Anyway,
you know,
what do you got for Jeff?
Ah, it's perfect. I got number 11, awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some areas is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
Well, I love this. When you have the tower, it's when all the extraneous things you no longer need fall to the wayside, and you've still got the foundation. So in other words, a view of your life, no pun intended, a kind of a vision or a view that you had for your life is now changing. But you have the core. You have the foundation. So now again, creating your vision in a whole new way. And I think that is what you're doing, Jeff. So it's an increased awareness in letting down the boundaries, you know. And, you know, what did the Enterprise say? Go where no man's gone before or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yep. And I think it's very exciting. That's a great affirmation. You know,
it.
Wendy is saying a lot of these cards were popping up from the very beginning of the year.
And I noticed that, you know, we had that repeat from almost a year ago. It's interesting. We got kind of an annual
it
cycle
is.
Going there, huh?
And yeah.
I can't tell you, is that, by the way, was that our last card of the evening? I've kind of...
No, we've got three more.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, we got more to talk about here a little bit later. Mm-hmm. All right, who we got next?
We got Aaliyah next.
Aaliyah. All right, let's see. You get number... 41. Number 41. I'm flipping through. Communication. Did we pull this one already tonight?
You did. At Ooh. Jackie's.
Oh, hey, it's a double. Well, we can't do that. We have to get you a separate one. That's an interesting. It's so rare to get a double pull. All right. We're going to 22. Think for yourself. All right. Well, compare it. Communication and think for yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs, simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Well, I have the Two of Clubs for you. So that Two of Wands, again, it's looking at a balance of the view you have for the future. And, you know, when you have ideas for yourself, but not people around you might not necessarily be supportive or get it. Not that they wouldn't support you then. They hadn't had that view. So you have to be really strong in thinking for yourself and what you want in your goals, Aaliyah, even though it might be contrary to those in your environment, or contrary to what they had thought for you, and might even be contrary to what you had thought for yourself based on what we were talking about earlier, like conditioning. So I think you're kind of stepping out of your own bounds and recreating yourself, which I think is always a great thing.
We have Dawn.
We have Dawn next.
Dawn, I have another wild card tonight. Wild card number 6, entropy. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, which is high entropy. Their energy stands still. Their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that person lowers their entropy and the world is a better place.
All right. Five of Hearts. So the Five of Cups is often symbolizes taking inventory. Like, what sucks the life out of you, Dawn? And what supports you? And that, of course, it always goes both ways, right, with people. There's always energy vampires and people who, you know, are better at being supportive and there for you. It's value for value, energy for energy. And so it might be that you're taking inventory of what doesn't fit for you anymore, what changes your energy frequency, what holds you back, what brings you down, what lifts you up, and deciding more of what you want in your sphere of influence. So I think that's always a good thing to do. So good for you. That's what I take. I hope that makes sense to you.
All right.
Okay, we have our card keeper, Wendy.
Wendy, can't wait to talk to you next week. And tonight, you get number 39, education. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Oh, there's a mystery afoot, Wendy. The moon always says that. Secrets revealed, hidden things revealed. But it also means that kind of there's a mystery in the universe afoot. Something is about to shift or change. Oh, and she said she had that card back in May. So kind of a different twist on it then. This is because I feel an opening of some kind with this energy as well, because education with moon. Understand, too, I can't just take one symbol by itself. It's a partnering of, you know, which is great for me. It makes my job easier, that I have to go by the education. So it's kind of how you're going to share more of yourself in an educational way. But there's also a mystery afoot of how that might take on a new element, let's just say. I'll leave it at that, like a new element. But it's something that's already bubbling or stirring under there, and it'll kind of surface all by itself. So I feel that's really exciting. You know, for what it's worth, I did feel a shift in external energy today. And it was probably the most optimistic feeling I'd had, because sometimes I tune into the world, right? Something out there. And I felt a shift, like there's something about to turn. And in a good way, everybody. So usually during our darkest times is when the light can shine through, because we see it clearer in a darker place. So there is a shift out there. So individually, I think, you know, everybody's got their own ride. Everybody's got their own story and going through their own days. But I think collectively, something bigger is starting to turn. And I'm glad about that. So, and for you, Wendy, I'd say that fits just about right. So, something's about to turn. It is exciting, and I'm really looking forward to talking to Wendy more. I mean, she's all over this one. She's the card keeper. Wendy and I, we're pattern freaks. I know you like patterns too, Michael, but it's watching behaviors, watching energy, and seeing patterns. And I have to say this, admittedly, Wendy is far better at it than I am. And she's got her own angle for seeing things, and I really appreciate that. So, I'm really excited about next week.
It's going to be fun. And it's going to be a fun broadcast. It's also going to be our last of the year because just the way the calendar works out, we have a couple of back-to-back holidays. So, you know, we know a lot of people are going to be either celebrating the new year or spending their time off for Christmas Eve with family or traveling or something. You know, it's going to be a wonderful discussion, a year in review of patterns, and, you know, we'll throw a little love towards Yuletide, too, while we're at it, I say.
So, until next week, you know, don't let them push you around out there, people. You know, we're closing off a year. We're going to talk more next week, but we're, you know, closing out a year that hasn't been really kind in a lot of ways, and you know, I don't want to get into all the other stuff, but everybody's had their own challenge, and everybody always does have their own challenge going on. The thing is, you know who you are, the core of you, which is why you're here, why you belong to IMHF, TFU, and you come to this program, is you want more and better, and you want to become better. So as you're navigating some dark forces out there, you know, whether it's a rude cashier or bad driver, you know, or something else closer in your life, don't let it change who you are. You know, don't let them push you around. They can't have that kind of power over you. So that's just a reminder.
That's a good one. It's a good reminder. And, you know, I'll just say, for my part, it is having a community like you folks, having Dr. Vicky, you here, you know, this has been one heck of a year. But I got to say, this community, knowing that you're not the only one out there that thinks a certain way or that looks at the world a certain way, that's been a huge source of strength. I just got to say thank you to everyone, and hopefully I've been able to contribute something in my own right to that, and I'll say it directly to you, Dr. Vicky, thank you for being here with me and for being part of that community and for being there for me, you know. Couldn't have done it without any of you, and especially you.
Yeah, well, Michael, you have such a special place in my heart, and I know I can say that for all you folks out there too, but Michael and I are in this together over here, and you know, we're buds. Huge age difference. It's like younger than my kids, but I feel like we're somehow, you know, kindred spirits in a way, and it doesn't know age. It doesn't know time.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, folks had always told me I have an old soul, which I don't quite get because I'm very immature. I don't know.
Hey, Michael, I got to tell you, off the cuff, you guys. So, I'm getting new teeth on Friday. Woohoo.
All right.
And yeah, I know. And this guy is masterful. Went for a fitting. I know this is so vain, you guys. But the teeth he built me, I got a top lip again. Oh, my God. I said, I used to have a top lip. You get dentures and the top lip disappeared. Oh, my God. I have a top lip again. I went out and bought a tube of lipstick.
I love it. I love it.
And I thought to myself, oh, the silly things that make you happy when you get old. Oh, my God. So, I'm going to have new teeth.
Awesome.
Anyway, I just had to share that with you. You got to have humor, guys.
You have to
see the humor. Have to.
You got to. Well, I can't wait to see you guys next week. Can't wait to have Wendy, our card keeper, next week.
Yep.
And I guess I'll say, you know, like Dr. Reed says, don't let them push you around out there. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.